the theme song of the 21st century church. I'd really like to change the world, but I don't know what to do. Yes, you do. But I think I'll just leave it up to you. No, we can't leave it up to anyone. Amen? We have a mission to accomplish. Loved one, listen, don't hoard your treasure.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Love Never Fails. On today's program, Pastor Bill continues his study from the Epistle of 2 Corinthians with the conclusion to the message, The Treasure Within. Let's listen in.
Here it comes again, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Listen, Paul woke up every morning and he faced death. He faced persecution. Paul says, always. I face the same thing every morning. I face the same thing each and every day. And I carry about in the body the dying of our Lord. Meaning he was being persecuted, he was being beaten, he was suffering, all the things that were happening to him. Loved one, listen to me. What was Paul really saying there? Paul was saying, it's not really me that they want to kill. It's not really me that they want to persecute. It's not really me that they want to hedge in and hunt down like an animal. It's Jesus that's in me. That's what Paul was saying. Listen, if you study out the New Testament, you know what you'll find? You'll find that all the religious leaders and other people, they tried to stone Jesus out of Paul. Did that work? No. Listen, they tried to beat Jesus out of Paul. But he didn't faint. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. They tried to starve Jesus out of Paul. Didn't work either. And not only that, the more they tried to kill Paul, the more the life of Christ was manifested in him to the world that he lived in. No wonder Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live, meaning all that I do, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I really, in my heart, wouldn't that be something to say 24/7? I mean, come on, loved one, 24/7, I live for Christ in my mind, in my heart. Whichever way he sends me, no matter what happens to me, I live for the Lord. Man, what a glorious, wonderful thing that is. No wonder Paul said in Galatians 2:20, remember, he cried out and he says, I have been, past tense, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Amen. He says, oh no, but Christ lives in me. Is he a treasure? Yes, Christ lives in me, and the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me and who loves me. What a glorious thing to do. Loved one, listen, I encourage you with all of my heart, as I encourage my own heart, manifest your treasure. Manifest it. It needs to be manifested. You know, listen, Christ in me, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27, he's in our hearts right this minute. Romans 5:5, the love of God has been shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given unto you. What kind of treasure is that to have the true living love of God abiding in you? Is that a treasure to you? See, I didn't know how to really love people until I was saved. Did you? I didn't even know how to love my wife. Do you understand? But only the Lord. When his love is in you and you obey the scriptures, oh, the changes that come into your life. Listen, we need to manifest our treasure. I believe with all my heart that the one who died for me took my place, the one who tasted death for me so I wouldn't taste it. I mean, the one who paid my sin debt. Doesn't he have the right for my treasure that he's placed in me to be manifested to the world? Absolutely. And if we're not doing that, what in the world are we doing? That's why this sermon, this word here is so important because, loved one, listen, you're more than just epistles of Christ, the aroma of Christ. You are trustees of the treasure that God has placed in you. Think about that for a moment. You're stewards. Are you going to be a faithful steward? That's what Paul is saying. He says, so then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, he's going to quote now Psalm 116, verse 10. He says, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we speak, or therefore speak. So he's identifying himself with that Old Testament prophet, and they're speaking the same things by faith. But Paul, listen, he wasn't afraid to die. That wasn't even, he knew he was going to die one day, just like we all do. He believed in the resurrected Lord. Amen? Look at verse 14. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus Christ will also raise us up with Jesus, praise the Lord for that, and will present us with you. Man, how is the Lord going to present us to God the Father? Remember what it says in what Jude? Faultless and blameless, with joy in the presence of God. Man, what a glorious moment that's going to be. And it says, for all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Paul says, listen, there's no reason to lose heart. Man, there's no reason to faint at all. Therefore, now based on everything I've just read to you, we do not lose heart. We don't quit. We don't give up. We don't become discouraged, even though our outward man is what? Perishing, dying. Listen, all of our outward man, every person here, it is perishing. Amen? When you get as old as Mark, I got to check, or Mario, whoever you are, I see the front row here. You know, I mean, I'm only 45 years old. I went out, I had to take, talking about my outward man perishing. You know, out there at the cross, you know, you have the pump cycle and all that stuff. Well, inside that pump, you know, there's a filter. It's about a 3-foot filter in there, and it has to be cleaned every 2 weeks. So I go out there Friday evening late, and I thought I was going to die trying to get that thing unscrewed. And I was embarrassed because I hope no one's out in the main lobby looking at me. And, you know, I'm looking around the corner, making sure nobody. And then Sandra sneaks up behind me, and I'm sitting there. I'm grunting and snorting, and I finally get a rock, man, and I hit the side of it, and finally that thing pops off. Whew. And I did. I quoted that scripture. I said, man, my outer man is perishing. It truly is, and God knows that, and he has mercy on me. Yesterday about 2 o'clock, you know, I'm in my office, you know, preparing for today, and I don't know, maybe it's 2:30. I don't know what time it was, and so I'm all alone, and all of a sudden I hear the door unlock, and Steve comes in, Steve Chavez, and he comes in, you know, our mission director, and he's loading up his trailer for the Mexico trip, and he says, hey, Bill, he said, you got a problem. And I was going, okay, what? He said, you have a flat. I said, what? He said, yeah, you have a flat. He said, come on, I'll help you change it. I said, I don't need your help. And I didn't have my tennis shoes on, so I put them on, you know, because it doesn't matter why. And so I go out there with, you know, and so, and make a long story short, he changed the tire. Carol helped him. But the thing, what I'm saying is that God knew that I needed help. All right, never mind. Though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man, where the treasure is being renewed. When? Not year by year, month by month, every day, every day, every day. Paul says, hey, man, yeah, I know I'm suffered in my flesh. I know that I'm not going to make it, but I'm going to tell you something. That outer man, yeah, it's going to perish, but my inner man, my treasure, oh, no, everything is fine. Loved one, listen, you have to renew yourself daily or you're going to get in trouble. You have to be in prayer daily. You get to be in prayer daily. If you don't, you get to go to the throne of grace every day. Come on. But you also need to keep your mind renewed to the Word of God. You know, this week, for example, you know, when you're you try to work, but you go back home and you go to bed, that sort of stuff, because of this stinking stuff that came down or came up from hell. I'm serious, man. You know, and so you don't want to neglect your time with the Lord in the Bible. But when you feel bad, it's like, I just want to close my eyes and cover up and put Vicks all over me, and I'd soak in it if I could. You know, like get in the bath to cover me with Vicks, and you know, where I can breathe and all that. And so I felt, you know, when I was in my prayer time early this morning, I said, oh, Lord, I feel like I haven't been in your word at all, and I feel so weak. And you know what? That's what happens when you have to stay in the word of God. You have to renew your mind. That's why it says in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? You got to keep the Word of God going through. You have to meditate upon it. And then look what Paul says. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, just a second, this light affliction. Have you ever called what you're going through light? No, we exaggerate. I'm suffering. No, it's light. Paul says, it's just a light affliction. Those stripes that I got, you know, they're just the light. He says, and you know what? They're just for a minute. They're just for a second, and they're doing something for me. He says, they're working for us, and look what they're working for us. A far more exceeding, that literally means exceeding all known limits, far more exceeding an eternal weight. Did you notice that he put weight with eternal, affliction with light? That's amazing. He says, oh no, this weight, this load of glory, which really would translate this way, it is immeasurable. The glory, as it says in Romans 8:18, the glory that is going to be revealed in you. Oh, what a glorious thing. Paul said, it's just light. It's just for a moment, and every minute is worth it. Why? He says, well, we don't look at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. That word look there that Paul used doesn't mean I just glanced at it. It means, man, I have a steady, fixed gaze. Listen, Paul didn't lose heart, didn't faint, didn't quit, didn't give up. Why? He was consumed with what he could not see. In other words, with the invisible. You remember Moses? Oh, what a great man of God he was. There in, it says in the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews 11:24, it says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, meaning he refused it because he was next in line. They wanted Moses to be the next Pharaoh. He could have gone all the way to the top. He says, oh, no, man, I don't want that. You know, he says, but choosing rather to suffer, here it is, affliction, just like Paul, suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. What a choice. Moses said, well, I looked at it, suffering or sin. I don't want that sin. He said, you know what? I would rather suffer with the people of God. And then he goes on and he says, esteeming, and that word always means there, it means to give careful thought to. He says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures, there's that word, in Egypt. For he looked, that's the same word Paul is using, he looked, that fixed gaze, he looked to the reward. In other words, Moses looked at what Egypt offered and all the grandeur of Egypt. And then he looked at what God offered. He says, man, I'm going to go with God. Listen, he says, I don't want what I see in the natural. Listen, everything's going to pass away, loved one. Everything that you have, it's all going to be gone. You can't hold on to it. You can't take it with you. No, Moses, boy, he didn't look at the temporary stuff. He says, oh, no, I don't want that. I want what is eternal. I want to look to my reward, which is going to be in heaven. And it says, and so by faith, listen to what Moses did. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Here it comes. For he endured. That means he didn't quit. He persevered. He didn't lose heart. He didn't faint. He didn't become discouraged. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's the key. We don't need to look at what's temporary. It's going to pass away. This world is passing away and the lust therein. Amen. But he who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever and ever. Loved one, listen, faith always sees what others can't see. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, the proof, the evidence of things, what? Not seen. Well, Bill, that's kind of crazy. No, it's not. Now faith is the eye of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word hope there doesn't mean I hope I'm going to get it. I hope it's going to happen. No, this is God's sure, certain hope that lives in our heart. Amen? No, he says, no, now faith is the things hoped for, the evidence of things hoped for. Yeah, love, when you look at that substance, you know, like heaven. Have you been to heaven lately? Then why do you believe in it? Do you believe in Jesus? Well, why? Have you ever seen Jesus? Well, how do you know you're really forgiven then? How do you know your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life? How do you know that God has really forgiven you? Faith. The only thing that pleases God is faith. By faith, it says, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, endured as seeing him who is invisible. Every Christian should ask themselves this question. Listen, number one, God has given us all things richly to enjoy. Amen? Enjoy whatever God has given you. Don't be guilty if you have a $5 million home. You better tithe. That's all I can say. Do you understand? If you have one of those, you know, my next door neighbor pulled in one of those big boats, man, to his house yesterday. I was going, whoa, that's big. I didn't lust after it. I mean, I wouldn't mind going to ride in it, you know, like tubing or something. No, listen, do you want treasure that's temporary or do you want treasure that's eternal? We have treasure. It's living and abiding in us right now. I'm going to tell you something. You will never, ever, ever lose heart, really. Oh, there'll be times of disappointment and discouragement that comes into your life, but you will never lose heart if you stop looking at this junk. It's just temporary. Amen? Keep your eyes on the unseen world because that's our home. We don't have a continuing city here. We seek one to come. Now, look. I want you to go back with me as we're going to close here in just a second, but go back to verse 5. We need to manifest the treasure that God has placed within us, loved one. Look at verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants or slaves for Jesus' sake. Now listen, I want to clear something up here. This is very important. When it says your bondservants, it's not talking about Paul being a slave to the church. It's talking about Paul being a slave to Christ. A lot of people look at those who serve, well, you're my servant. No, I belong to the Lord. You belong to the Lord. I'm his servant. I want to do his will. Amen? Yeah, it's important to see that. But here's what Paul does that I love so much. Did you notice in that verse, Paul didn't preach himself. Paul didn't trust himself. Paul didn't even exalt himself, and he didn't, especially he didn't look to himself. Loved one, if you want to faint in this life, look to yourself. Look at yourself. Then you're going to, oh, I can't make it. Well, of course you can't, but Jesus in you can make that. And that's why Paul was such a success. You know, what do you think the secret of Paul's success was? Of course, the Lord is treasure. But you know, you do well to study out the great men of history. What a glorious thing it is in church history. You know, A.T. Pearson asked George Mueller, oh, you should study who George Mueller was, a great man of faith. He said this to George. He said, would you be willing to tell me the secret of your great work for the Lord and the wonderful things that God has done through you? And George Mueller, he responded and he said this to A.T. Pearson. He said, well, many years ago, George Mueller died from all of his ambitions. And here's what I said, from now on, Lord Jesus, not my will, but thy will be done. Loved one, you want to be, you want your treasure to manifest, then here's the deal. It is where your will is now swallowed up in the will of another, Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what it's all about. Or how about General Booth when he asked Wilbur Chapman, he said this, will you tell me the secret of the great work that you have accomplished for the Lord Jesus Christ? He replied, and he says, well, when I was a lad of 17, I determined in my heart that God should have all there was of William Booth. If we will do that, if we will get this American Christian mindset out of our hearts and say, Lord, not my will, thy will. Lord, here I am, an earthen vessel with your treasure. I want whatever you want. Listen, do you believe that we must change our world? Do you believe that this generation, it is not only in trouble, if this generation translates into the next, this nation is going to be in more and deeper sin and trouble than we can ever imagine, loved one. Listen, we have something from God. We have this treasure from heaven in earthen vessels. We have a responsibility. Do you really believe? Tell me the truth. Now, don't be religious. Do you really believe we can change this city? Do you really believe that we can, like the days of old, that we can turn this city upside down for Jesus? Well, then why aren't we? What are we doing about it? Are those just words? Or does our heart really, really mean it? You know, the other day I heard a song, you know, I listen to K-Love sometimes, you know, the oldie-goldie station. And it was so fun. I hadn't heard this song in a long time. It was by a British rock group called 10 Years After. And it came out in, I don't know, 71 or something. It was called I'd Like to Change the World. And y'all probably don't remember, but I'm not going to sing it to you. But I would sing it, you know, if I had, what's that guy, Jack Black, what's his name? You know, the School of Rock. Man, y'all don't need to punish me. I'm not over everything yet. You need to be kind to me. You know, where the song goes, you know, I'd love to change the world. That part, remember that? It says, he says, but I don't know what to do. And therefore he goes and he says, so I'll leave it up to you. The theme song of the 21st century church. I'd really like to change the world, but I don't know what to do. Yes, you do. But I think I'll just leave it up to you. No, we can't leave it up to anyone. Amen? We have a mission to accomplish. Loved one, listen, don't hoard your treasure. You know, who would do that? You need to spend your treasure for others, not for yourself. Oh, you know, you need to read, you need to study up Luke 19. Remember what the parable of the minas? Remember what Jesus said to that wicked servant? You said, you wicked and lazy servant, I entrusted to you this mina. You know what? And you just went and buried it. You should have at least put it in the bank and draw some interest for me. You know what I mean? See, we have a stewardship. We have this treasure. Jesus said, do business till I come. He's given us all the assets that we need. He's placed them in this earthen vessel, loved one. Listen, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. I mean, you know, Becky was telling me about an article she just read, and it was about an American student who was in, you know, the Islam country, and that he went to the finest schools there. His parents worked, I guess, as a construction, whatever they were doing. And he grew up as a little boy in the finest schools of that land. And, you know, he did very well in school. And he, geography, he'd look and study all the maps. And he, when he left and went abroad for the very first time, he was looking at a map. And he, this map that he saw was different from the map that he learned there at schools. And guess what nation was removed? Israel. What is going on right now in this leftist, centrist, democratic movement that's going on this minute that is so anti-Semitic against the nation of Israel? Love them, we're in trouble, and we need to manifest the treasure that God has placed in us. May I say this with just love? I'm closing out, but listen to me. Has the church fainted? Have we? Come on. I mean, you know, I mean, here we are. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Jesus said in Mark 1:17, he said, follow me, come after me, travel with me. I have an adventure for you. I'll make you fishers of men. That's what Jesus wants us to do. We have that treasure. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the last thing Jesus told the disciples, you know, when he was given, he said, listen, but you will be endued with power. The Holy Spirit's going to come on. You'll be endued with power. And you're going to be my witnesses unto Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. We've been endued with what we need to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish in this world. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are the ambassadors for Christ. We have all this treasure. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. You have a supernatural, at least one supernatural gift abiding in this treasure chest. But here we are. We're not suffering. Thank God. We're not suffering at all like Paul did or the other early apostles or the Christians and, you know, and so forth. No, you know, the only way we suffer is when we get rebuked for not bringing, you know, somebody, one of the ushers says, you know, don't bring any coffee in the sanctuary. What do you mean? We fainted. We need to wake up. Well, Bill, we're forming the world. I know, God, I know. We need to wake up. We need to manifest God's treasure to this world. Why? We've been entrusted with it. It's a living, it's alive, it's in us right now. The treasure within. Let it out.
We appreciate you listening with us today. And we want to remind you that Pastor Bill's study from 2 Corinthians continues on tomorrow's program. And we invite you to join us once again. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.